This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Some stories start at the beginning. Ours begins here.
What the?
No one knew which came first. The hybrids or the virus? But that question would become the biggest mystery of our lifetime. This is a story about a very special boy. A boy we come to know as Sweet Tooth.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And today we are pretty excited to be reviewing something that I think it's fair to say we all enjoyed. And that is the... Let's see. It came out just a couple of weeks ago on Netflix, Sweet Tooth.
So, you know, there's some shows where the less you know about it, the better it will be. I really think Sweet Tooth is one of those, which is not to say you shouldn't listen to the rest of this review. But, you know, I knew very little about it, except that it was this sort of post-apocalyptic setting and that it featured a child. And I'm so glad because I was so taken away by this series. I loved almost every single thing about it. And it made me feel both... sort of melancholy at times, but also just really joyful at other times. I really think it's such a great pandemic time watch.
So my favorite Netflix-produced show is Stranger Things. Like, there's nothing that has topped Stranger Things. Sweet Tooth, I think, either comes close or is on par as my favorite thing that Netflix has ever done. I really, really love the show. It's so good. It's so bingeable. So I binge it over a weekend. It's so easy to watch. It's very breezy. And my biggest problem with the show is that there are so many things to love that it's difficult to pinpoint and pick what I love the most. Because it's just like, it's like an overall thing. I love the show like overall.
Just to join in on the love, I really enjoyed it. I also didn't know exactly what to expect. I knew that it was an adaptation of a graphic novel, and that therefore the possibility of going really off-kilter and weird was very high, because that's the way of things with graphic novels. But I had sidestepped a lot of the trailers and stuff, because I really wanted to go into it unknown. And I'm really glad I did, because the premise is so great. The way it's shot, the way it's acted is so lovely that you're sucked in right away. The premise, such as it is that there was, Sharmila, you said a pandemic watch. I was a bit taken aback by exactly how pandemic-y it was, because it starts with the Great Crumble, in which the world crumbled when there was a virus, a pandemic, society just fell apart. And essentially, they're kind of light on details on what exactly the sick does, the disease, but suffice to say that it spreads very easily. And it came out at the exact same time as people were giving birth to hybrid babies, babies who were part human, part animal. And because people weren't sure how the hybrids were linked to the disease, they were subsequently kind of driven underground, they were hunted. And so that's where we find ourselves with our protagonist, Gus, who is a deer boy who lives in the forest with someone that he calls his pubba.
The thing is, like, he's really the heart of the show, right? And having a kid, especially a kid that young, be the focal point of a show that's meant for adults can go either way. The actor who plays Gus, Christian Convery, he is so good and fun to watch, and his relationship,
he's so sweet.
And you know, even when he does silly things, it's so easy to just sort of chalk it up to him being a kid. He's very much a kid, and the show leans into that a lot. I do understand that the graphic novels are a lot darker than this series ended up being, and I'm glad for that, because I feel like the backdrop for this show is actually really very dark. And we're talking about, you know, people being wiped out, culled, really. We're talking about a pandemic, and a lot of it hits quite close to home. And I think if they didn't manage that sweetness at the heart of it, this could not have been as nice a watch. Instead, what it ends up being is it gets you thinking about, I think, the pockets of joy that you can find amidst even the most difficult of times. And that's what I took away the most from the show.
Mm. I mean, it has, like, thematically, it's very disturbing, some of the stuff that it gets into and some of the implications. They don't show a lot of it on screen, but they imply a lot of things. And it's quite disturbing to think about where the places that the show goes to. But it's all very, like, bright and sunny, and it's the landscapes are, like, beautiful to look at. So the show has, like, a huge budget. The cinematography is so good. And it feels like it popped out of a children's fairy tale book. And I guess in some ways it kind of did. Like, it is inspired by a lot of those things. But it even looks it. Like, the energy of Sweet Tooth matches Sweet Tooth, the character. You know, it's very high, it's very up there. And I appreciated that, like you, because it could have easily been like doom and gloom, like so many other shows that are about like post-apocalyptic worlds or pandemic-driven worlds or whatever. I'm glad that it was. It's a happy story that has a lot of dark stuff going on.
It's funny because at least in terms of appearance and in terms of immersiveness, this feels like it's happening in the same world as The Handmaid's Tale, even though they are, you know, thematically very different. But in terms of how they fully express what a post-collapsed world might look like, not post-apocalyptic, but where society has just fallen apart and we're relying on... And there are things that are familiar, but there's also things that are from decades past because that's what we've regressed to. There's also things from the future because we are in the future. I think it manages that blend of introducing that really, really well. I've talked in the past about how some of my main issues with the Netflix shows is like they all appear to be shot on the same studio. They all appear to have the same editor. There are also... very often similar problems with pacing, right? There's the famous episode 3 cutoff. And the great thing about Sweet Tooth is that it doesn't have any of these issues. I did not think that I was watching a quote-unquote Netflix production. It just felt like I was watching a really good television show because while the premise starts off with him, you know, being alone with his father in the woods, it eventually becomes more about what he has to do and how he has to reckon with a world that he's not familiar with. It's a bit of a buddy comedy as well. You know, you meet Big Man or Tommy Jeppet, depending on who he's with. And you get to see all these different stories. And while Gus is a great character, I think that the other characters are in many ways equally strong. I was happy to be in their company. So even though the A story was always good, I didn't feel that the B and C stories within the episodes were dragging, at least not for me.
No, definitely not. In fact, I don't think there is a character that I didn't like in the show. I mean, as in they're characters that you're not meant to like. But in terms of finding them compelling, instead of liking them when they're on screen, liking what they bring to the story, everyone fits in so well. Everyone's developed and given just the right amount of backstory and a connection to the main plot. I found all the characters so compelling. I also really liked how it does really well with this buddy comedy journey plot, right? Because you meet people along the way. Some people are just there for half an episode. Some people are just there for short bits, and yet they make quite a strong impression. There are characters that I remember who really were only on screen for a short while. And I think the strength of the show is that it is extremely character driven. It's a story about human communication and human connections at a time when they are all in short supply. And I love that they didn't pull back on it. They actually, in fact, made sure that they emphasized conversations and connections between people. I don't know. There was something very, without trying too hard, it felt like the show understood why these things are important.
Hmm. I also feel like the show does something that's very rare for any kind of show, and that it makes you feel shame to a certain extent when the villain shows up. Because normally with villains, like, you either you hate the villain or you're disgusted at the villain's behavior, but you never sort of, you never empathize with the villain itself. Like, you never do those kinds of things. The only other time I felt like this was when watching the Planet of the Apes trilogy, because you see the humans and then you imagine, like, if something like this actually happened, like if hybrid suddenly showed up, we'd make like a complete mockery of ourselves and treat them the way we did. Not all of us, but, you know, there would be like significant pockets. And I think that that shame is a powerful like emotion. I saw myself going like cringing a bit and going like, this is definitely what we would do. And I appreciated that. But I also don't know if it's just a cynical side of me going like, yeah, we would definitely shoot ourselves in the foot if anything like this happened, you know. And that's rare. That I don't feel that with like most shows. This show made me feel that.
I love that you bring that up because that I think is good writing, simply because the villain is that complex in some ways, but on screen, he's played, you know, almost like a poster of a villain. He's not a caricature. He's a poster with a walking, with a walking headline, like, I am bad guy. And, you know, he's played with a lot of charisma, a lot of swagger. And I think in a different story, perhaps with different characters to bounce off of, he would really have come across as a caricature. But here instead, he's quite frightening. He's played quite cool. But yes, you definitely feel that shame because I think you understand. It doesn't help, I suppose, that everybody's wearing masks. And so it feels even closer to our world than other pandemic watches. I think that's why the shame is so close, because you recognize that some of us have already kind of started behaving this way.
I felt the same way about the environmental message as well, because that's a strong part of it, right? That humanity essentially brought itself to this place because of how little they had cared for the world. And so the movie kind of counteracts that by showing you how well nature is doing with so few people around. Mm-hmm. So the show is so beautiful, primarily because there's so few humans around. And you get to see what that looks like. They take you through these gorgeous American natural spots and landscapes, huge vistas of...
Shot in New Zealand.
Yes.
Explains it.
So, and again, that made me feel, if not shame, a sense of guilt, because...
Yeah.
A guilt for, our collective actions. And I think that's a tough thing to do in a TV show without putting off the viewer completely.
Yeah, like alienating you without completely alienating you. It's like such a fine balance, and the show does it like so, so well. But just coming back to the main villain for a bit. So they're like the last men, who are like groups of villains. But the main villain I felt was doing like a bad impression of Ben Kingsley playing Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
I also thought it was Stanley Tucci for like a full 10 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, one of those like over the top sort of like, yeah, I wasn't buying into his performance, but what he stood for was powerful, was kind of like super evil.
Which is the weird balance, right? It's a super weird balance that the villain is striking. We're talking today about Sweet Tooth, which just dropped at the start of June on Netflix. Have you seen it? Have you perhaps read the graphic novel? Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
If I hear a voice,
I will run.
If I see a human,
I will hide.
We have reason to believe that you are harboring an animal child.
Where's Colorado?
What's in Colorado?
I heard there's a safe place for kids like me.
If you go out there alone, they'll have your head by morning.
I got you.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. We are reviewing Sweet Tooth, which is an 8-episode first season Netflix fantasy series. And we touched on Christian Convery, and I'd like to return to him because he plays Gus, right? Our central 10-year-old hybrid, dear hybrid boy. And yesterday we talked about The Neverending Story and about the child acting in that, about how very often it felt like, you know, kind of screaming into the void. And I think that this central performance really grounds the whole show and really makes you understand how important it is. Like you said, right, when you have a child at the heart of a show, it can be very difficult because it's that balance of innocence, of not wanting to be too precocious. There are all these things that go into it.
And mind you, it's a kid that's playing a very visually striking child, right? He's got antlers, he's got ears that are like a deer, and he does things sometimes in the show that are decidedly non-human.
Around apples.
Yeah. And he's called Sweet Tooth for a reason. He's adorable. He loves sweets. Mm-hmm. All of these things could have easily crossed the line into being annoying. And to be fair, there are some parts in which you can kind of see like, oh, don't push it. But they never do. And I think part of that also has to do with the fact that the kid is always surrounded by adult actors who are really good at playing off of him. So you have Will Forte, who plays Pabba, or his father. But you also have Nonzo Anozie, who is Big Man, who becomes sort of his companion along the way on this journey.
Who is so good.
They're both so good. Their chemistry with the child is so different. And I think that that's part of the reason why he becomes more human in return as well, because you have these great interactions between the both of them that feel real. It feels like how real adults and real children interact.
There were so many scenes when I thought it was like bordering on being annoying. Like I was like, oh, why would you do that? But like you said, it's because of how they recognize that he's innocent and he's naive and he doesn't know what he is doing. Like he's out in this world, no clue where he's going or what he needs to do, right? And I think they established that so well in the first episode, and they let you know exactly who Sweet Tooth is. So when he does things that are like, that you don't understand or that jeopardize the entire journey or the entire quest, you're like, never mind. You know, this checks out. It's just him and he's a kid. And like, honestly, if they got a lesser actor to do that, it would have failed. So I don't know. I'm just like, hats off to the audition process or whoever picked him to play Sweet Tooth. That is like, if there was perfect casting, this is perfect casting.
Going back to that idea of it being a fine line, right? I think you also need a little bit of incomprehensibility in all your heroes, simply because if everything went according to plan, you don't have a show. You just have a beautiful road trip across New Zealand. And sure, I'll watch that. But, you know, it's not a series. And I think that with Sweet Tooth, there are moments where someone literally just told him to do something. Mm-hmm. And then he does not do it. Someone literally tells him to stay still and he can't do it. And I think in those moments, because he is a child, because he's so believably playing a child, and because we always need our heroes to a little bit not listen, I think it all works out and it all blends together really beautifully. And on the subject of the adults, I wanted to bring up Dr. Aditya Singh, because, or rather the person who plays him, the actor who plays him, Adil Akhtar, because for the longest time, a lot of the strands in the show don't come together. And so you are left to wonder why it is that we're going from Gus and Big Man's adventure to somewhere else, some other weird suburb where weird things are happening, some other zoo where weird things are happening. And you do need to empathize and want to know how things are going to work out for them. And I loved Dr. Aditya's storyline.
I really loved his storyline. It took a while for me to understand how they're going to intersect. But once it becomes clear, he's the perfect character to actually embody a lot of the things you brought up earlier, Arvind. This sense of the reality of being in a situation where sometimes you might choose to be selfish, mm-hmm. but also the larger idea of what it means to be human or to be kind or to be empathetic. And I think the way he plays the character helps so much in being probably the most human of most of the characters on screen.
He was the only character where I would decide on something in one episode, and then by the next episode, I would like shift my feelings altogether and I'd be like, no, I don't like you anymore. And then the episode after that, I would be like, I understand, so I'm back on board. It flip-flops again and again, but it doesn't flip-flop in a way that's indecisive. It flip-flops in a way like you don't know exactly what's going on, and then it keeps like, you know, unraveling like different layers one after the other, which also reminds me, the show is a bit of a mystery. So a lot of it, like all the details are sort of hidden, but it doesn't play like one of those mysteries where you have to constantly try to figure out what's going on. It's very easy to get along with and let the show reveal what it wants to reveal at its own pace, because there's so much more to enjoy other than the central mystery itself.
Sometimes it's just budget, isn't it? Because the thing is, a lot of what we're saying, aside from the fact that the show does good work in all the ways that it's supposed to do good work in, meaning it casts well, the story is written well, it's directed, each episode is directed really with a rather beautiful eye. Aside from all these things, right, the reason why we're able to spend time and the reason why we're able to be carried away by it, I think, is also because of the world building. And a lot of that has to do with the thoughtfulness behind it. A lot of that has to do with, I think, the source material being very strong in this area, but also just sometimes it's sheer budget. And I think it really shows in each episode, because there are very few moments where I think, I don't really believe in this world, or wait, that didn't make sense. The world feels very identifiable to me as, and this is frightening, but very identifiable to me as 10 years from now, for instance.
Yes, and that is actually terrifying. And the interplay on that show between how something feels like a film or a TV show or a book, and then suddenly something pops up and someone sanitizes their hands and you're like, oh my God, this is potentially our world. Mm-hmm. It's really, really clever. And I love the world building in this. I love how as they go on their journey, you see different pockets of how different communities have started adapting to this new world. And the show does all of that so well. Fantasy series need thoughtful world building. And often that's what lets a lot of it down without you realizing it. Something doesn't feel real. Something doesn't pull you in. This show never does. This show never fails in doing that.
Mm. The music choices in Sweet Tooth is like spot on. Anytime you have Dirty Paws by of Monsters and Men and anything by Sigur Rós playing, I will like, I am on. Like I will watch any film, any TV shows that has those songs in its soundtrack.
I agree. I think also just in general, I am really excited for season two. Is everyone as excited?
I'm excited and I can't wait. Like I desperately want it already.
I just wish they bundled it in like a single production. Like I want season two next week. Mm. The fact that we have to wait for like next year is torture.
I know. I'm really excited. So we've been talking today about Sweet Tooth. Let us know, have you watched it? Do you plan to? Did you like it? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and of course tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.